Hello, 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 listener, and welcome to the first pilot edition episode of Area De Rigori, the weekly fix of Serie A and all things calcio from north to south, Spalletti to Allegri, Berardi to Tammy Abraham. This week on the podcast, what didn't happen in Serie A this week? 5 goals at the San Siro, 7 goals in Florence, 7 goals in Atalanta. Joining me first, for the very first edition, we're very happy to have Wayne in Rome. Wayne Girard, how are you, man?
Hey, thanks so much, Darnish. I'm happy to talk a little Serie A today. It's been a crazy week for sure. As we're recording, we see that Torino is up 2-1 to Udinese. So that's the Monday fixture there. But it was really, I got a chance to watch a lot of ball this week, and I was very happy with what I saw. A lot of the results, a lot of the plays, and it was just very exciting. A really good one. I hope that everyone out there got a chance to watch. But if you didn't, I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to run through some of these games for everybody.
That's right. Yeah, it was one of those lunatic weeks in Serie A. These are becoming more of a regular fixture. Sorry, my man, I've got no sound effects or soundboards or anything. I was going to put some applause in for you to come in, but here we are. First result. Let's go with the freshest result we can. So not Verona Empoli. That's just happened. We'll go for the Sunday one. Genoa Roma. Roma 2-0, picking up the win. You must be happy, man.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. More so just because the tactics were drilled down and we haven't always been lucky this season. We've been rather unlucky hitting the post so much, refereeing issues. But finally, 81 minutes of pressure and Roma gets their goal from who else but this 18-year-old Gian who's making the sound waves. He's someone that if you are a Romanista, you've watched very much in the Primavera in the past year or so. And he's been lighting it up and he's made a few substitute appearances and he's such a firecracker. Like he gets on the field and you don't know what he's going to do. He's unpredictable. So I was super happy to see them grind out that win, get all 3 points. And you know what that means for Mourinho and the boys is just, it's everything. It's got to be one game at a time. And Genoa, though, they looked pretty disciplined with Shevchenko, who steps in. They've got a lot to be hopeful for, I think, with their new American ownership. So I'm expecting a little bit of a resurgence for them throughout the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it was certainly a tough first fixture to come in for, I think, for Genoa. And of course, Shevchenko, glad to have him back. But they were pretty solid throughout the game, I thought. Very solid. Didn't create much up front. I thought it was a bit difficult when you have strikers like Ikuban and Pandev up front, who's a veteran. I'm in agreement with you. I think that Roma do have a lot to work with in attack this year. I don't know what you think, because obviously you're the Roma expert, so to speak. But with Shmurdov, Tammy Abraham, Mkhitaryan, Pellegrini, I know that people are kicking up a fuss about Mourinho being grumpy already. But they have played a lot of big teams already, but it was an important 3 points for them, I felt.
Yeah, they're getting the most shots, I think, of any team within Europe on net. So that's really good. That shows that they're being coached the right way. They're making scoring opportunities. That's not been the hard thing. The hard thing has been the finishing, the meat of it, right? You got to have that end product. And it's like, I think Tammy's hit the post like 5 or 6 times so far this season.
He has. I definitely think he should have more goals.
Yeah. It stinks for him. A lot of bad luck on the pitch, man. But Pellegrini's been popping off. He's been doing really good. El Shaarawy's playing a little bit further from net than he has in seasons past, coming in very much helpful on the left wing. Mkhitaryan, he's cooled off a little bit, although he had a really good game yesterday. And that's kind of how it's been happening. So it's frustrating, yeah, from my point of view, right? We want to see them converting more. But as long as you're creating those opportunities, that it's going to become a theme, I think, where they start to score a lot of goals. And I think it's so important to remember that this is just the third month of what's hopefully going to be a three-year project.
Yes.
So from that perspective, I'm happy.
Played a lot of difficult teams already. Lazio, Napoli, Juve, the Milan game as well. It was disappointing to watch you guys in the Milan game. I think for me, when you dropped off, I thought you showed him a bit too much respect in that game. The Napoli game was more sort of both boxers looking at each other. Neither wanted to really lay a glove and go for the jugular. I thought that Rome derby could have gone either way, but I think Mourinho will be happy for the fact that you've already played some very tough games. Obviously, Fiorentina was early on as well. So maybe you've got some winnable ones coming up. There's always going to be more scrutiny just because of the fact it is Mourinho at Roma. But maybe there could be something there for you. What is What would you be happy with this season?
I would be happy getting back to the Champions League. I would understand fifth. I understand sixth. Anything less than that, not really. And if it would be a real celebration, though. I would be really happy, too, if we get the Conference League. But that's secondary. For me, the primary objective is to get back into the Champions League. And now they're not too far off. They're just a couple points behind Atalanta, I believe. No. So
there's going to be a tough scrap for the Champions League spots, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll be by season's end. They'll be right there. They're going to be fourth or fifth. So it's very hard to say. Nobody could be certain. You know, say Roma's definitely going to be fourth spot or Atalanta's definitely going to make Champions League. I think it's going to come down to those two, though. I'm interested to see that battle with the latter, that team playing, you know, some really good football. So
Bold claim. You're going for Roma in the Champions League spots? You like your chances?
It's them or Atalanta. I give it 50-50, even though that Atalanta is playing a bit better right now. And you see, like what you just mentioned, they dropped off against Milan, then they come back strong against Napoli. So that consistency takes time to develop. I don't think that in 3 months we'll be playing that same type of up and down attitude. I think it'll become a lot more solidified and stable there, for sure.
A lot of teams fighting for fourth spot. Lazio are in there too, Fiorentina, Juve. You don't think any of them could challenge you? You think it is between you and Atalanta? Because for me, Napoli, Milan, Inter look like it's going to be a three-horse race, possibly a two-horse race with the Milan clubs, and Napoli got a tough run of fixtures coming up now. But you do think it will be Atalanta and Roma. You don't see Sarri getting in there. You don't see Vincenzo Italiano. You don't see Allegri with just Juve getting better every week with Allegri ball.
I see Juventus. I see Juventus having a strong... They're going to have a strong winter. Yeah, and now they've got the defense pretty much figured out. If it's De Ligt, he's been looking a lot better. So I could see them there as well, but I think that Roma is just a better team. I'm hoping that they have the depth. I think player for player, Juventus got really lucky against Roma in the first fixture. So I have to go with those two. Juventus will continue to take losses, as will Roma, whereas Atalanta maybe not so much.
Yeah,
but I'm hopeful. I have to be hopeful as a fan, right? I know that the odds makers will disagree, but that's where I have to stand, as being optimistic and hoping for the best.
Good. We love a bit of optimism on here.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the star boy of the week, Felix Afanajan. Amazing game. Two amazing goals, and he got some Balenciagas courtesy of Mourinho after the game.
Yeah, good stuff. So I think that this week in the Europa League that he'll probably be given the start. It's well-deserved. Talking to 18-year-old, very exciting that the Serie A has this type of player. So not if you're just a Roma fan, but also a fan of Italian football, you have to be grateful that we have somebody so powerful, so prosperous, and a true prospect in our wings right now. And that's, you know,
definitely,
it's an excellent thing to look forward to. What an asset, you know, and all that comes from good scouting.
Agreed. Did you see the, please tell me you saw the video of Mourinho giving him Balenciagas?
Yeah, it's cool.
They look so good, man. I want a pair of Balenciagas.
I don't like that it's a big social media spectacle. I think that should have been it. Like, why does it have to be on camera also? But still, nevertheless, now at least we can talk about it. And it's one of those things that I think in some time we'll look back on and say, oh yeah, that was a great moment during that point of time.
Of course. It's nice little touches. It's nice little touches. I'm just a little bit jealous of the bag, to be perfectly honest. But great game, two stunning goals. So much confidence, I think, from this kid. It was just so much. Mkhitaryan's run was very good. I thought that was, maybe you can come in here, but that to me was your best goal this year, the first one against Genoa. The counterattack was simply blistering from defense to attack very, very quickly. Mkhitaryan took on three defenders and Jan with a really polished finish.
Yeah, excellent stuff.
Just last words on Roma then. So are you happy with Mourinho? You like the way things are going? I know there's been some good things, there's been some bad things that we've already spoke about. Pellegrini's looking very, very good. There's been some tactical tweaks in the formation this week especially. What is the verdict on Mourinho from you?
I'm happy. I like him so far. I really had a lot of faith in him when he came here. And like any great manager, he just needs some time. He needs the right players, the people who are going to suit the way that he wants to play throughout time and throughout his great teams. He's always had an excellent defensive midfielder. So that's going to be someone that we look to bring in the January market. And from there, I think that his team can really start to fly. But to answer your question, yes, I'm happy with him. I think he's the right man, a manager I never thought we could pull off, and I'm happy to have him here.
Brilliant. All right. Nice to hear some optimism on Rome. I've heard a lot of people not be so optimistic, but Wayne in Rome is.
Yeah, it's the only way to be. Otherwise, just why get out of bed? This one will be a bit more brief because I didn't watch all of it, but I did watch enough to definitely give my...
Not to worry. I can sort of... I did watch this one. Right, moving over to Florence. Fiorentina beaten AC Milan 4-3. Interesting, both teams that came into the weekend who were the remaining teams who were unbeaten, which was Napoli and AC Milan, both lost this weekend. Napoli also lost 3-2 at the San Siro to Inter. This was a strange game for me. We watched it in Milan. That's right, yeah, I was in Milan this weekend. Be jealous. I actually thought Milan played very well, deserved to score more than they should have in the first half. Ibra should have had more in the first half. Fiorentina got a 4-3 win, but they took every single chance that they had. It was mistake after mistake after mistake for every single Fiorentina goal. Milan created plenty of chances in the first half. Could have scored more, should have had more, I think. Didn't take the opportunities. Fiorentina did. Capitalized on the errors. And then in the second half, it was almost pretty much the same. I think the Fiorentina sort of sucker punched them twice in the second half, and then they never really recovered. Ibra came back with two brilliant goals, and then you're thinking, okay, actually they're gonna get something out of the game here, so they rightfully deserve to do so. And then another goal, Vlahovic puts the squeeze on them, and they eventually end up losing 4-3. There was a good 10 minutes where Fiorentina finally got it together and just kept the ball for 15 minutes in the second half. You saw Vincenzo Italiano, the camera panned on him, and he was just screaming for them to calm down and keep the ball because they didn't really do that well as they were at the beginning of the season. What do you think, Wayne?
Yeah, I liked what I saw from Fiorentina with their ruthlessness, and Saponara, it's a really amazing goal, right? You know, he was one of those guys that if we look 10 years ago, people around Italy thought that he was going to become something really big. Well, he didn't lose any of that talent. Maybe he didn't show it on a daily basis. And over time, you know, people start to lose interest, but it's important to remember that when he gets that chance, he's going to take it. And it was a beautiful tira gira that he took. Other players that I thought had a decent game, Bonaventura, of course, Torreira was, I thought, outstanding. You know, for a little guy, he uses his body so well. He makes the intelligent pass, the smart play. I love him. I thought he did a great job. It doesn't even need to be. I mean, you wrapped it up. You know, Vlahovic is a killer. He's a ruthless player. And they make the most of Milan's mistakes. Teo is, you know, him and Tatarusanu are a little bit of a liability. As good as Teo can be in the attack, he's got to improve that way. He's got to be a little bit more responsible, I think, on that end, even if it means that he has to sacrifice some of the space that he takes up in the offensive zones. He's got to be a team player as well. So that's the way that I see it for him. It's that Milan's just overall, they're a good team. I like the way they play. I think they're really strong. Leao got the better of Odriozola at least a few times. You know, one was really good where he played
all on top.
I think for the second goal that Milan scored. And of course, you know, having Ibra back is a real treat for Milan. Who knows how many more years that he can keep it up at this level, or is it even months at this point? I just don't know. Brahim Diaz comes out. You see him subbed along with Salamakers, a player who I don't really rate that much, Salamakers, and Tonali. So on paper, I think Milan just needs to take it on the chin. They play good football. They can't give up on the way that they play, and they just got to keep going. I don't think they have the team to win the Scudetto, but they're definitely going to be second or third.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I think they're good.
I think that they've been the best this year. The only thing that I can see, and this was salient in the game as well, is injuries. They constantly have so many injuries week in, week out. The fans are getting restless with the medical team, and this week it cost them. Gabbia was in instead of Tomori. Tatarasanu is obviously in because Mannion is injured. The first goal, Tatarasanu drops it, and then Gabbia for some reason is shielding it. And then obviously it's put in by Duncan, and Ibra exploded at Gabbia. I don't know if you saw it, but he was exploding at him, and I would have done the same because you can't do that when you're chasing the Scudetto. every single one of the, Fiorentina's goals was a mistake. It was a mistake. Even Saponara's goal, I know you commented saying it was brilliant. The ball comes in, it's a tame cross, and Tonali can only clear it 1 yard forward. It falls to him and he arrows it in.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
Vlahovic, while scoring two good goals, two well-taken goals, two chances, two goals, which were good, Kaya had him in his pocket the entire game. The entire game, he was right up close to him. Whenever he was dropping the ball to feet, he was right behind him. And the two times that he lost him, or the first time Kaya came out and tried to press for the ball, didn't work. Vlahovic on Gabia, he got through and scored. The second time, again, the same Kaya, he took it off the Theo Hernandez. Kaya was not close enough to him or just evaded him, and he scored. So I think two things here. It shows Kaya's amazing ability to be one of the best defenders in the league. And number two, Vlahovic can put it in with barely any chances. He reminds me so much of Ruud van Nistelrooy. He's a Serbian Ruud van Nistelrooy. But make no mistake here, Milan fans can at least take something from the game that they still created lots. I know Ibra scored two in the second half. He probably should have had a hat-trick in the first. And by the way, Rafa Leao right now is just absolutely brilliant. He is playing like one of the best players in the league, or possibly even Europe.
Yeah, he's amazing this season.
He's just, every time he gets the ball, he easily takes on four or five defenders. But Milan were poor in their mistakes in this game, and they didn't take enough chances. Even in the second half, where you thought they could turn it around. But I think the key is with Milan, they've faced adversity for so long. Every week they have injuries. Every 2 weeks they have problems of some sort. And Pioli's guided them through that well. Not only that, but Pioli's guided them through that when their fan base didn't even want him. Pioli out was trending when he first came in, but it seems to have been working. Good win for Fiorentina. Good 3 points for Italiano. I'm sure he'll be very happy with it because they didn't deserve to win this, but they took their chance as well, and that's what happens in this league. It's loony crazy.
It's difference having a top striker.
Yes, exactly.
Not that Ibra's not. I don't mean that in the sense that Ibra's not, but having a top striker, sometimes you just win games that you probably shouldn't.
Devastating at the moment.
Right. I do agree with you that Leao he's been really outstanding. I rate Brahim Diaz. If Brahim Diaz can just do it every week and turn on the engine, then you know, Kessié is probably going to leave. But if they get like Sanchez in his place, along with Tonali, Ateo, and if Tomori comes back, then I really do start to come around, I think, on Milan. When I put all the pieces together, I think that I give them maybe a 10 or 15% chance more than I did. And it's only because that they look a little haphazardly designed to me. I don't see like a brilliantly created team where they've been like I have the right guy in the right place. Like you see Brahim and he comes in from more of a winger role and he's being converted now. With Kessié, there's been the issue. So with Tonali and Bennacer, if you're going to tell me that that's a Scudetto winning combo in midfield, I don't know about all that. But as time goes on, perhaps they are, because I think of other tandems and I'm like, yeah, actually, they probably are one of the top three tandems in the center of the pitch, those two. Or at least, if not together, two of the better center mids in this league, you have to say. And I think of Barella, perhaps Jordan Vera too, like those guys, you know, Anguissa. But they really are right up there.
Brozovic,
yeah, for sure. So I could see how the case could be made. Do I think that they will? I can't tell yet. I can't tell because you do bring up a great point. It says the injuries, and if they were fully healthy, I mean, who's getting the better of Kjaer and Tomori? Good luck.
Nobody right now. Nobody. And Ibra's in as well. I just feel as though on the basis of the full season, and we'll get to the Inter game because they had the best game under Inzaghi. On the basis of this season and last season, and I think roundabout since the Ibra signing, I've always just looked at them and thought, wow, okay, maybe they're onto something here. And maybe we're doing the wrong thing by waxing lyrical because they lost. But even in them losing, I thought that they just have to get something out of them. Also, Kalulu was brilliant, I thought, which is going to show that another thing that when the players are coming in who aren't starters, even they're doing the job now, even they're stepping up. So let's see. I think for me, it's between them and Inter for the Scudetto.
Yeah, especially with Osimhen. now getting, he's going to be out about a month with his orbital fracture and his cheek fracture.
Yes, yes. It was a rough injury. I hope he's doing okay. Getting on to the Maurizio Sarri derby. You see Lazio playing Juve on Saturday. Two goals for who else? Leo Bonucci.
Two from the spot. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's crazy to think that Bonucci is the guy drilling him home. I don't even want to mention that for people who've been, you know, watching the Azzurri, especially with what's been going on. It doesn't even need to be said. But
You've touched it out there. Yeah. You've touched it out there. Whoever's listening, we're really sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Italian, so I feel that really hard.
Let's see. There's still some games there, but let's see.
Yeah. So this one, it comes off a penalty kick first with Bonucci, and we see one of the defenders, I forget who it was off the top of my head, he slides in, and it's an absolute penalty. That's a crazy play.
Oh, yeah. All ends up. Yeah. I think there was a few people debating this online. I, at first glance, thought, okay, yeah, it's a pen. On second, I was like, that's definitely a pen. You can't.
Oh, definitely a penalty.
With some of the bogus decisions that have been given this year in Serie A, that is just not debatable at all.
You can't go studs up in the box like that.
No, but he doesn't get any of the ball at all. I'll never get that.
Bonucci does well, though. He hits that really nicely into the top right.
Oh, he stayed cool. What was interesting for me in this game is Allegri is sort of tweaking his formation now. You're seeing that boring Allegri ball, that boring Allegri ball of that man who leaves brides at the altar and bets on horses. There was three defenders at the back for this. Locatelli was in the CDM role. I thought that was really interesting. He played McKennie again in up the pitch a bit more. So Locatelli was CDM, McKennie and Pellegrini in midfield. Quadrado, who I thought or think has been one of the consistent performers for Juve over the last few years, was on the right. Rabiot he's always kind of shoehorned on the left. Chiesa had a bit of a better game from with Morata, but for me the three at the back is the really interesting one, because you can see now the defense is getting there, which is what, you know, Juve fans and what Agnelli wanted. It was Allegri back in, and we need security, and we need to get those balls back. We need to get that aura. We are Juventus, and the league should be afraid of us. Good win for Juve, I think. A good 3 points, but they need to build on it more and more with the terrible run of form that they've been on. I know they had that little phase where they were just winning 1-0, 1-0, and you thought, okay, maybe Allegri balls back. But it was unsustainable, and this team still needs to be built back up from the pieces of losing Sarri and Pirlo. Because the same problems that were there then are there now. There's still massive midfield problems, I think, that they've had since Allegri was last.
Yeah, I agree with that. In that they haven't really added that type of muscle or even that skill in midfield. Is it Arthur? I'm not so sure about that. Rabiot, I think he's a bang average center mid.
I always have, yeah.
Moving on from that, you know, McKennie's good, but perhaps not a Scudetto winning center mid. Not at this point. He's very good for the U.S., though. He's been a really good player for the United States.
Yes. Been through some personal scandals this year as well, but he's gotten through them. And also, I think that you can't simply throw Locatelli on and go, okay, yeah, no, that's our creation taken care of in midfield. Locatelli, whilst doing pretty passes this year, does seem to add a level of creativity in that midfield, but I do think it's a gaping hole for them.
Locatelli is it?
It's an odd one. It's an odd one because they're so far off Scudetto places now. They think they're 4 points near to the Champions League spots. So, I don't know. Is Champions League even a good year for them? But they are going through a lot of rebuilds, but that should be the aim. I think Champions League spots for Juve.
Yeah, it's got to be the aim. They can't target the Scudetto. But, I mean, as Locatelli, and I'm thinking him as like the anchor that they can build around now.
Definitely.
And I said they didn't add strength, and I also said they didn't add passing. I didn't mean passing like skill. Skill-wise, as they can't get the ball around the pitch, because they can with him, but I mean more of like an attacking player who can transition a bit better from the center to the attack. So I think that he is that player, but they're missing somebody on both sides of that. Like, he's very good at the center, and then it's the transitions, which I worry about with Juventus. I don't worry too much because I'm not a Juve fan, contrary to most fans out there of Serie A.
You sure? Are you sure? But no way in Turin?
No. But
more than happy, huh?
Yeah, they got to be more than happy if they get back into the Champions League. But I think it'll be the Europa for them.
Would be an odd one for them. I also think he needs to find a way to use Chiesa better. I think now he's just sort of put him up front. Like, why not play him on the left where Rabiot is just getting shoehorned in? I think he just needs to find that combination of midfield of attack and defense. I know he's tried a range of different combinations. He's tried Locatelli and Bentancur. He tried McKennie and Bentancur. He's tried Rabiot there. He's tried many other different ones. So I think he's still realizing that is still the biggest problem. I know Bentancur started on the bench this week, but it was an important win for them. Let's see if they can challenge for the Champions League spots.
Yeah, and I do think that after this year, they're going to have some important transfer windows and they get these new guys in. But right now, it's Allegri is probably punching above his weight, but he's a good coach and that's what he gets paid to do. And I look at these guys on this team and a little older with Chiellini and Bonucci there, but they're still doing it. Of course, Chiellini's out right now, but now we see Danilo injured. And back to your comment about Chiesa, where he should play. You know, he draws the penalty for Juve's second penalty kick against Lazio to put that game away.
Yep.
I do like the fact that he roams, but there's got to be a way to get Kulusevski and Chiesa on the field at the same time.
It must be. He was the best player last year, I think, Chiesa or Cuadrado. And then he exploded in the Euros as well on the global scene. I mean, I thought he exploded last year in Serie A, but obviously some people are stupid. They don't watch Serie A that much.
Yeah. I could see him definitely dominate if he takes on a type of winger / Mazzala type role there where he can cut in and even drop back a little bit more. And cut in, I think would be great for him is if you push Kulusevski more to the right and Cuadrado behind him, and then you get someone like Vlahovic, and all of a sudden Juventus is back, you know, with one center mid. So they're not too far off, but I don't think they're going to make Champions League this year.
Okay. That's a fair claim. I could do that. Quick word on Lazio.
They show that they're one-dimensional.
That was my reaction as well. When I think about Lazio this year, I don't really know. It was pretty obvious they were going to be very fun to watch up front. They were going to score a lot of goals. I know they got Tsakani this year, Pedro, Felipe Anderson's playing very, very well. In spurts, Milinkovic, Savic, and Alberto have played okay. It's just the defense. I think he's finally realized that, I can't have Lucas Leiva in as a reduced end. That was working with Cataldi. But I think they're going to just be lacking at the back this year. Like the worst weaknesses of the Sarri's Chelsea team were.
Yeah.
The trouble is in defense.
If you look at Acerbi, he's a decent center back. However, he's not flawless. And they're just like probably a sixth or seventh place team defensively. Nothing much above that. And I like the players that they have. I have to admit, Luis Alberto, I think he's a really good player along with Savic. These guys are great. And they can definitely do what they need to on certain days, but they don't bring it all the time. And they just show that they're one-dimensional. Once Chiro goes out, there's no answer to not having Immobile. They put Pedro there. That's the opposite of how they play. All of a sudden, you went from long ball.
Yeah.
You know,
you lose a target, man.
Oh, yeah.
You lose a dynamic forward. You lose a dynamic. Pedro's a wide. He's much better wide, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. Even Pedro's older, man. He's on like the last. He's on the last of it. So they're an average team. Nothing more than that.
Cool. Well, listen, Wayne in Rome, of course, the infamous Wayne in Rome.
We totally are.
Pleasure to have you here on Area de Rigori, brought to you by BreakingTheLines.com. It was an absolute pleasure. I hope the best for you. I hope the best for Roma this year.
Darnish, thank you. You're an excellent host, by the way.
Thank you. You're the first guest to say that to me. Probably because you're the first guest to be on.
There you go. Well, no, you do a great job at presenting. I hope that whoever's listening, just give this a thumbs up. This is he's doing a great job here. And we ran through a lot of these games, great points that are brought up. I am running to go make a salad and heat up last night's lasagna for my fiance before she gets home. So
isn't that just lovely?
I am leaving you here, but thank you so much. And guys, be good. Hopefully the next few weeks of Calcio are just as entertaining as these were.
That was Wayne Girard from WayneInRome.com. You can find more of his stuff at IFTV, where he's done some script writing, and he also tells stories for the AS Roma FC English social media channel on Twitter. It's a shame, actually, we didn't get to speak about the Holy Nation. Ma, Maurizio Sarri. Only a handful of people will get that high, I imagine. Sorry for my horrendous singing skills. Now, moving on to saving one of the best games for last. It was Inter Milan 3, Napoli 2. This was an absolute pot boiler. Cracking atmosphere in the smoke at San Siro. You could hear every roar, every cheer. Two Scudetto challengers fighting every tooth and nail, attacking football. It was a real seesaw encounter. We saw a lot of good attacking players up for both teams. I know it's early on in the season, but this might be one of those games where we look back on and think things swung in favor. Inter Milan before this game never really got going, but this game I thought was Simone Inzaghi's best. I think they're certainly the best that Inter Milan have played under him, but it was a really good, upbeat, intense game to watch, signifying everything brilliant about Serie A at the moment. If you're not watching this league, I don't know what you're doing. Napoli initially took the lead with a goal from Zielinski after Insigne had darted through the Inter Milan midfield and onto their defence. It was a good goal from Zielinski. I thought Napoli's two goals were really good long-range efforts, first from Zielinski and then Mertens, who made it 3-2 later on after Hakan Çalhanoğlu had scored a penalty and Perisic had flicked on a header to score from the corner, after which Lautaro Martinez scored to make it 3-1. Interesting to see Lautaro Martinez sort of apologise to the Inter fans as he scored just because he hasn't scored for 6 or 5 games. He had a much better game. There's a lot of players that I thought for Inter that came to the fore in this. Matteo Darmian looks more and more like their most consistent fullback. Hakan Çalhanoğlu is maybe finally now becoming the player that they wanted to replace Eriksen. Surely all the attacking onus can't just fall on Nicolò Barella. And I think he's having better games on games now. Because obviously Marcelo Brozovic is in there as the anchor, the guy who likes to come box to box, but also likes to drop in between the centre-backs and play out from the back. Normally Nicolò Barella, who is running around like a headless chicken and doing all the attacking work as well as some of the defensive work. But I think Hakan Çalhanoğlu is sort of coming into his own now. But my praises are reserved for Perisic in this game. He was absolutely devastating. On his day, he seems to really come clutch and he can really be a big player when he wants to be. I think it's always strange when you have a player who has such a good performance, but then you hear shortly news coming out saying that he's probably not going to sign a new contract. So Inter's fullbacks, Darmian and Perisic, may be now filling the void left from essentially getting rid of one of the best fullbacks in the world last year, which was Achraf Hakimi. I thought Correa had a good game as well, breaking through the lines terrifically against Napoli's defence, which led to the third goal as he assisted for Lautaro Martinez. But he was constantly doing that. He was constantly dribbling through the lines, receiving the ball from midfield and eventually creating chances. Inzaghi's changes that he did from around about the 60 mark onwards, when Vidal came on, Zeko came on, and then on 75 minutes, Di Marco and Gallardini came on. I know Satriano came on later. But I thought that those changes actually gave the onus back to Napoli. Sort of right after scoring, he was not necessarily shutting up shop, but you could see that he was clearly trying to change things to close the game out, bringing on a bit more experience and guile in Vidal in midfield, bringing on the Gallardini instead of the Lautaro for Lautaro Martinez. You could really see he was trying to wrestle back the onus in midfield. It did almost cost them. I think if the game had gone on for maybe 10 more minutes, Napoli could have won. You saw Spalletti throw himself to the ground when Mertens missed that chance right at the end. But essentially, it's a massive, massive win for Inter Milan. And I say that it swung things because when you look at Napoli, the best player this year in the league, not just for Napoli, but one of the best players this year, Victor Osimhen, he's injured now. He could be out for 3 months. Could this maybe sway the Scudetto challenge away from Napoli, I think? I'm sure that Napoli fans in particular, as well as neutral fans, are not happy to see Victor Osimhen go off, but Napoli fans are probably more upset because Partani obviously came on for Osimhen and they might have to see more of him now. What we may see is this result kick-starting into season and a slug match out for the Scudetto between the Milan clubs. Still early days, let's see. But all in all, this was a brilliant advert for Serie A. It reminded me of why this league is just so fun at the moment. It's probably the most entertaining in the world. That's all we have time for on Area De Rigori, the first edition of Area De Rigori. Thanks again to Wayne for joining us. I know this week that we've mainly delved into the big guns. We will go further into the sort of mid-table minnows and the relegation battlers next week. It's just because there were so many big games on, it was obviously hard to cover, and I don't want to chew people's ear off. Thanks to whoever has been listening. This was brought to you by BreakingTheLines.com. You can find articles and plenty of other fun stuff on there. There's one on there right now about possible stop clocks in the game. Are they needed or not? I've been your host, Danish Iqbal. Thanks very much for joining me. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.